Yes, Lord, you are the only one that satisfies. So, Lord, now as we come to your word, may you speak to us. Leave us astounded. Leave us amazed. But don't just leave us there. Lead us to a life of obedience and worship. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Today we are very happy to have our senior pastor, Pastor Henry Chan, to come and speak God's word to us. And our passage for today is from the book of Acts, chapter 20, verses 17 to 38. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to open it and to follow along. Acts chapter 20, verses 17 to 38. Now, from Miletus, he, that is Paul, sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. And when they came to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance toward God and of our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I've received from the Lord Jesus, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit have made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease, night or day, to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands minister to my necessities and to those who were there with me. In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way we must help the weak, and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.' And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And there was much weeping on the part of all. They embraced Paul and kissed him, being sorrowful most of all because of the word he had spoken, that they would not see his face again. And they accompanied him to the ship." This is the word of God. Pastor Henry.
Good morning, everyone. It is wonderful that I can worship with you this morning. I come to join the English worship a couple times per year, so I consider it quite a coincidence, perhaps an ordained coincidence, that Joe also returns to us this morning and led worship. As he already said in the worship time, he went back to Taiwan for a midterm mission trip. Now, for those who have received Joe's prayer letter, I trust that you will agree with me that it's quite a blessing to read the prayer letter each month that he sent. He not only tried to do all the ministry in Taiwan, but also faithfully preparing the prayer letter and sending to us. And reading his prayer letter, starting from his first arrive in Zhongli and making all the initial adjustments, including the living accommodation that he was put with a bunch of college students And then the room was so packed that it's even difficult to walk into the room. And then I read in February the prayer letter, "Hello, 70 degree winter." Now, I have to admit with you, Joe, that sometimes I read things real fast. So initially, I thought you were saying, "Hallelujah, 70 degree winter." Now, writing to New Jersey in the middle of February, such news, it's cruel. It's very cruel, particularly this past winter. And then he talks about the gospel camp. And then I don't think he mentioned food poison. Did you? Right. Okay. But you did go to hospital more than just once for, you know. And then he read about his jumping over a gate and end up in hospital again. Now, reading all this prayer letter, you will find that it's anything but boring. There seems to be so many new things happening, and then there seems to be so many opportunities for him to learn and to grow. I picked this passage and the title of today's message, Gospel Ministry, A Relay Race, not knowing that Joe would be here. After realizing that he would be leading the worship, I thought it was actually quite fitting. Gospel Ministry, A Relay Race. Now, Paul's speech to the elders of the Church of Ephesus here, sometimes on the surface, been perceived as a farewell speech. His last speech, his goodbye speech to the church in Ephesus. Perhaps that is why seldom, unless somebody is preaching through the book of Acts, seldom you will hear a pastor, a minister, picking this passage. Because if this context is considered as a farewell setting, unless the pastor is leaving the church, why would he say anything like that, right? So perhaps that is why this passage is seldom chosen to preach, unless someone is preaching through the book of Acts. Now, I look at this passage and I say, this is actually, the title, Gospel Ministry, A Relay Race, is perhaps better fitting than it is a farewell speech. Because if you look at the actual context, Paul already left Ephesus. If you go back to the beginning of the chapter, Acts 20, you will find out that Luke tells us that Paul left Ephesus and went back to Macedonia. Not only that, Luke tells us that he traveled throughout the region. He traveled throughout the region of Macedonia. You would expect that he at least visited some of the city that he visited during the second missionary journey. Philippi, Thessalonica, Perea. And if Luke says that he traveled throughout the area, probably he also took the opportunity to visit some other places that he didn't go on the previous missionary journey. And then in Acts chapter 20, verse 3, Luke says, he finally arrived in Greece, the southern tip of the modern-day Greece, Macedonia being the northern part. And he stayed there 3 months. So Paul has already left Ephesus for we don't know how long, 6, 7, 8 months. Maybe even longer, at least 6, 7, 8 months. Now, furthermore, the speech he gave to the elders in Ephesus tells us that he didn't actually return to Ephesus. This particular encounter took place at Miletus, as Sam led us in reading the scripture. This is in Acts chapter 20, verse 17. This actually took place in Miletus. Now, where is Miletus? Can I see that map now? Okay. Here is the map. This is Miletus. This is Ephesus. South of Ephesus. This is what took place. Now, if you travel by land from Ephesus to Miletus, you have to go over the river and, you know, you have to come this way to avoid the sea journey. It's about 63 miles. Not a short distance. And if you want to travel by sea, you still have to go probably 50 miles together, land and sea together. So he didn't go back to Ephesus. Not only that, the Bible Luke tells us that he went from Samos, the island of Samos, to Miletus, and then he sent for the elders of Ephesus. Why would he do that? If he wanted to see them, why wouldn't he sail from Samos to Ephesus? Somebody said, well, he was in a hurry. He wanted to go to Jerusalem. And because Jerusalem is further down south somewhere here, so he went this way. But this didn't make sense. Because by traveling to Miletus and skipping Ephesus, and then send somebody over to Ephesus to get the elders, the trip actually took what? Longer. If he wanted to expedite the trip, he should go to Ephesus himself, finish the speech, and then went south. But instead, he traveled to Miletus and went through the trouble of sending someone, taking the 63-mile trip, and then waiting for the elders to come. So, I consider this not a farewell speech. I think the main purpose, or one of the main purposes, is to tell the elders at Ephesus a gospel ministry is a relay race. And guys, here is the baton. Take it and run, and don't drop it. Gospel ministry is a relay race. What are the nature of this relay race? Well, first of all, gospel ministry is a relay race, and it may happen naturally. It just happened. This relay race just happened without any deliberation. It just happened. Now there are many examples in the Bible tells us the gospel ministry, a relay race, happened naturally. Look at Paul's ministry in Ephesus. This is mainly described in the 19th chapter of Acts. This is the detailed account of Paul's ministry in Ephesus. Verse 9, Luke tells us that Paul, as usual, any place he went, he always began the preaching of the gospel of Jesus in Jewish synagogue. Any place he went, that as long as there is synagogue, he will always start the ministry there. But then, in verse 9, Acts 19, when some became stubborn and continued in unbelief, speaking evil of the way before the congregation, he, meaning Paul, withdrew from them and took the disciple with him, reasoning daily in the hall of Tyrannus. Obviously, he rented a room, maybe a lecture hall, from another philosopher some kind of a Greek philosopher called Tyrannus. And verse 10 said this. He did this for 2 years, so that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in Asia heard the word of the Lord. Now, I also want to say something about the word in our English Bible, reasoning. Some other English translation use different word, discussing. Some may even use the word debating. But I want to let you know that the original Greek word is much simpler than that. It is simply talking, dialoguing. The original Greek is dialogomai. It is simply talking. Hey, how are you? Oh, you're doing well? You have some time? It's like talking, so somebody hear and somebody respond. You receive the response and then you continue to engage that talking. Paul did this for 2 years in the hall of Tyrannus, and then so that every Jew and Greek who lived in Asia heard the word of the Lord. How could this be possible? He stationed himself in Ephesus, not going around anymore, and then all the Jews and Greeks in that region heard the word of the Lord. How could this be possible? The only explanation is because Ephesus is such an important city for commerce, sea travel, land travel, military base, whatever. It's one of the famous cities in Asia. A lot of people travel there because of a business. Obviously, somebody went into this place, heard the gospel, some believed, and brought the gospel back to their hometown. This is the only explanation. People travel through that area. Some heard and believed. And after returning to their own hometown, the gospel ministry, the relay race continues. Another example. The first stop on his second missionary journey, Philippi. Luke tells us in Acts 16 that Paul met some women, people who went to the riverside and prayed in the morning. And because Philippi is kind of a small town, it's actually a military post, probably not much Jews living there. There's not a whole lot of money to make, you know what I mean? If there's no gold and silver, they just won't go. So there's probably no synagogue there. Not knowing any place to go, the only place that makes sense is for someone who may be seeking spiritually. So he went to the riverside, knowing that that's a place for people to pray. And then he preached the gospel. And a woman named Lydia, a dealer of purple cloth. If you know the background of that time, you understand that this woman is not a common, ordinary woman. She's actually a businesswoman, an entrepreneur, successful one. Purple cloth is expensive. She dealt with expensive stuff. She became a believer, and she invited Paul and whoever accompanied with him to stay in her place. But then, soon, persecution broke out because Paul driven a demon out of a slave girl, and then because the master of that slave girl losing the opportunity for divinization, he pressed charge against Paul. Paul was put in prison. This is the story that Paul and Silas were singing in the jail, and the jail door opened, chain fell out. And the jailer was afraid, trying to commit suicide, and Paul said, no, 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 no. And then the Bible tells us that the jailer and his entire family actually became believers that night. But the next morning, Paul and the co-worker need to be driven out, driven away from Philippi. That's it. The end game. No more Sunday preaching. No more Sunday school. No more discipleship. No more this one-on-one, particularly trying to bring somebody up stop cold. What's going to happen to this baby church? What's going to happen to this baby church in Philippi? If you read the letter to the Philippians, chapter 1, verse 5, you will find out Paul says this. He said, "We always pray with joy because your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now." The relay went on. The baton has been passed. Not only that, if you go to Philippi chapter 4, you will find out, Philippians chapter 4, you will find out Paul said that. I'm so thankful because you guys, not only once, more than once, you kept on sending us financial support. Think about it. I don't think the Philippian church had ever run any mission conference. I don't think there's any chance for them to run any mission conference, but guess what? They became a missional church. Gospel ministry, a relay race, happened naturally. That's the beauty of life. Things can happen naturally. And I sometimes think that living in today's world, we really miss to see that. Now, 2-3 years ago, a family in our church, I'm going to call that Family Z, taking the first letter of their last name. That doesn't tell you much. Family Z. Zhao, Zhang, Zhen, all Z. Brother Z was telling me this thing 2-3 years ago. On one spring, he noticed that there is this tiny little seedlings coming up in the middle of his front lawn. It was not grass, because it looked differently from all the grass surrounding it. It didn't look like weed, as far as he knew, because, you know, after a while, we knew how we looked like. It didn't look like weed, so he said, "Oh, I wonder what this tiny little seedling was." So he left it alone. He actually didn't cut, he didn't, you know, pull this thing out, and when he cut the lawn, he actually avoided that little seedling. And guess what? 2 months later, it became a plant. And looking at the leaf and checking on, you know, internet, Google, he said this may be a melon plant. And guess what? Another month and a half passed by, this little plant produced 2 melons. Honeydew melons. And Brother Z was so excited. Actually, after he harvested these 2 melons, he called some of the cell group family and came to his house to share these 2 honeydew melons. Now, why? Were those 2 melons much larger than the one you can get from ShopRite? Were those 2 melons much sweeter than the honeydew that you can get from Costco? No. He was excited. Because this is something grown naturally. Brother Z is over 60 years old. He had tasted the crushing of this world. We have to strive. We have to work hard. We have to put everything on the line just to earn the right of survival. We're not talking about moving ahead. We're not talking about, you know, become Steve Jobs. We are talking about mere survival. We have to put every effort in there in order to earn something in return. This is the beauty of life. Gospel ministry. A relay race happened naturally. This is the beauty of God's work. The gospel ministry continued naturally. But then I also have to say the second point. While this relay can happen naturally, this relay also must take place necessarily. It must take place necessarily. This is a rule of the game. Any relay race passing on the baton, receiving the baton, is the rule of the game. Passing on the baton is a must. Receiving the baton is a must. There's no choice, there's no negotiation. There can never be delay either. Handing and receiving the baton, both have to be done within a certain range, and it involves two parties. The rules stipulate such a way. Even if the first runner is much more talented, much more gifted than the rest of the player. I don't know if you still remember some of the Olympic Games took place in the past few years. 2008 Olympic. I remember the day it started because it took place in China. 2008, August 8, 8 o'clock. Because 8, if you pronounce that in the Cantonese way, is prosper. Now, every athlete in the Olympic Games is world-class athlete. And yet, certain category just catch the world's eyes. Certain category just catch the world's attention. For example, who is the fastest man in the world? There are many, many events of running, right? But who is the fastest man in the world? Guess what? 100 meter. What else, right? 100 meter is the definition of who is the fastest man or woman in the world. I don't know if you remember this particular athlete. A Jamaican by the name of Usain Bolt. On the final match of 100 meter, Usain Bolt ran. And before maybe 5-6 meter reaching the final point, touching that line, he actually turned his body sideways and looked as if he's asking a question. Hello? Anybody home? And he's asking this question rhetorically because he knew the answer. He knew the answer, otherwise he wouldn't turn his body sideways just a little bit. That is a no-no for the last 5-6, that's a no-no for the entire running. But Usain Bolt turned his body sideways and looked. Hello? Anybody home? And when I watched that match, I was sitting there and said, my goodness, his parents should name him Lightning Bolt. Because this is Lightning Bolt. You see it and you don't see it. This is how much superior he is to the rest of the athlete. 100 meter gold, world record. And guess what? He also ran 200 meter. Do you know the result? Gold, world record. Now it's time for the men 400 meter relay. Now we are talking about who is the fastest nation in the world now. Lightning Bolt is allowed to run only 100 meter. Now 5 meter more, now 10 meter more. Within the certain range, he had to hand the baton to the next Jamaican. They won gold. 2012 Olympic. Usain Bolt, 100 meter, gold. 200 meter, gold. And then he ran the 400 meter relay for Jamaica again. Again, he only ran 100 meter. The necessity is simply there. The necessity is to be commonly shared and understood by the one handing out the baton and the one receiving. Now, was there a problem with Apostle Paul? If you read Luke's description about Paul's ministry, you will find out that no, there's no problem with him. In Acts chapter 19, this is what Luke tells us. After all these happened, Paul decided to go to Jerusalem. Do you know what all these are? Talking about his success of reasoning, of discussing, of dialoguing about the gospel of Jesus Christ in the hallway of Tyrannus. Talking about the successful spreading out of the word of God to people living in the Asia area. And then somebody took Paul's handkerchief, put on a sick person, healing. Just like Joe shared today, the good news of a sister received healing, the bad news for Hello Kitty. After all these success, Paul decided to go to Jerusalem. What about the Ephesus believers? Were they willing to reach out their hand and take the baton? Perhaps they will hesitate. Perhaps they were not sure. Perhaps they think we're not quite ready yet. Of course not ready. Who could fill the shoes of the great Apostle Paul? I mean, think about it. Who could fill his shoes? Perhaps the church wasn't strong enough yet. Perhaps we were not mature enough. Sure, of course. Because today we heard Paul said that. There will be danger coming out from without. There will be wolf coming. And there will be also problem, conflict from within. Some of you will get up and start drawing disciple to himself instead of having this broad view, broad understanding of church being one body. But despite all of these things, the baton needs to be passed on. Even so, the relay must take place necessarily. I have a third point, but I'm not going to say it, except just tell you what it is. This relay, being able to happen sometimes naturally, being that it must happen, must take place necessarily, should not be taken for granted. This morning we heard about some testimony of a young brother staying just maybe a year in Zhongli. Talk about some of the things, activity that he was involved. But most of all, talk about the opportunity, the need to continue to grow. If you read Paul's description to the Ephesus elders, he never mentioned about gifting. He never mentioned about ability. But he talks about integrity, courage, consistency, perseverance. And that's how the baton will not be dropped. Gospel ministry, a relay race. Are you part of that natural process? Are you one leg of that necessity? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, indeed, we recognize that your work is wonderful, marvelous, rich, abundant, glorious. We do pray that you continue to do your work among us, onto us. Open our eyes so the thing we cannot see, we can see. But we are not willing, dear Lord Jesus, compel us. But we are not able to continue, sustain us. But we cannot become, mold, and make us. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.